Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor in southern New England on an Indian summer day into the 80s. Beautiful weather. The leaves are turning everywhere. In fact, they're coming off of the deciduous trees. Working in the garden preparing for next spring. However, a real springtime, I go to New South Wales. Jeremy Zakas joins from Sydney. The spring is all around, Jeremy, which means the creatures are busy. So are the five-year-olds, I understand. Jeremy, you've been doing a five-year-old birthday festival at the same time you're waiting for better weather, springtime weather. So we begin with happy birthday to all the five-year-olds in Australia, especially New South Wales. And I understand you hit 110 degrees Fahrenheit in Western Australia. Is this unusual this early in your springtime? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Yes, it certainly is the birthday season here, and it's certainly the unseasonably hot season here as well. And what I mean by unseasonably hot, temperatures around the country are above about 16 degrees above average. So what that meant from Western Australia during the weekend was they had temperatures of 40 degrees Celsius, which is roughly around about 110 Fahrenheit, give or take. It is very, very warm. And this hot temperature is really sweeping right across the continent, because here in Sydney over the weekend, as we had all these five-year-old birthdays to go to with my daughter, the temperatures were very, very warm. In fact, they were getting on around about 27 degrees Celsius. So we're talking getting up around about 80, 85, even 90 in some parts of New South Wales, which when you're talking springtime, that's really about 10 degrees hotter than where we'd expect to be. These temperatures too weren't just a one-off for one day. They actually lasted the entire weekend as well, and are going to continue into this Monday, which is good for us because we have the King's long weekend. So of course, all of us are going to be hitting the beaches and having barbies. But at the same time too, we feel it is an ominous sign that this summer is going to be incredibly hot. And that's a feeling shared as well by the Bureau of Meteorology, who are now warning us that this hot temperature suite, I guess you could say, that's going across this weekend across the continent is likely a sign that we're going into a very catastrophically hot summer. So a summer where we could have a lot of bushfires, we could have a lot of dry spells, which could create droughts in most parts of the country and do a lot of damage. But the Bureau of Meteorology also does warn that later this week that temperatures are going to plummet again. And when they say plummet, they mean by up to 20 degrees Celsius. So we'll actually go from having effectively a summer right now, a very hot summer right now, to a very, very cold winter by the end of the week. So, John, we don't know whether to put our winter clothes away right now, get our summer clothes out, or just keep everything out in the cupboards. It really is hard to tell what the weather's going to do one day to the next.
Where's the rain? Springtime, where is the heavy rain?
The heavy rain is really relegating itself to upper North Queensland, so the very top of the map of Australia, and Darwin in the Northern Territory, which is the centre of Australia, the very, very top. So we're talking the monsoonal areas, which typically get rain anytime, anywhere, anyhow. But even they're experiencing a little bit of a dry patch right now, because this hot air, as it comes across the whole continent, has dried out some of those northern areas. So Darwin, for example, didn't really get the monsoonal rains across the weekend like they'd expect to get during this spring period. And Queensland is actually relatively dry. Normally, they'd be getting thunderstorms and a lot of heavy rains swirls coming across the Brisbane area, which is in southern Queensland. But no, they're not. They're actually getting a very dry summer-type feel as well. Although I must admit that both those areas will be getting monsoonal rains expected by the end of the week. But everything's just gone very, very dry, and it's very, very unseasonable, I guess you could say.
Hot weekend weather, rain and wind for other parts of the country, Queensland and South Australia. Let me understand the formula here. You're looking at a dry, hot summer, which would lead to the usual bushfires. Nothing unusual about them. It's part of the cycle in Australia. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And I guess really the unusual part here, which has thrown a lot of forecasters and the meteorologists off kilter a little bit, is because this very hot, I guess, air package that we're getting right now, which we typically would see in summer, but we've got it in spring, and then it's turning into a very cool air package very quickly. The discussion is this the cycle we'll see during summer? So it means we get very, very hot weather followed by very, very cool weather with rain, and then will it cycle back to very, very hot weather during the summer, which for bushfires is, I guess, in many ways much more dangerous because the hot air package dries out the landscape and effectively makes it a real firescape, and that's when the fires start. But then as the rains come back, a lot of the undergrowth will grow very quickly. So we're talking the grasses, the small shrubs, the bushes, which means it effectively during the summer month, we'll get a lot of that regrowth and kindling, which can actually lead to a second wave or a third wave or a fourth wave of catastrophic bushfires if we get really hot on top of that as well. So we could see almost like mini seasons cycle through the summer, but it's hard to tell because as we spoke about just a few weeks ago, the Bureau of Meteorology had to throw out a lot of their weather forecasting models because the oceans are warming at different temperatures to whatever we've seen before. So even at the moment, that the meteorologist just can't tell us what's going to happen. So it's an ominous sign, but at the same time, it may also just not be an ominous sign. It just might be a one-off.
A month ago or so, there was debate about La Nina or no, La Nina. Are they talking that way now?
La Nina has completely disappeared from any of the discussions whatsoever. In fact, not even El Nino, not even the Indian Ocean Dipole is really mentioned when we see the weather reports. All they talk about at best is, as we also spoke about just a couple of weeks ago, in Antarctica, the upper level wind layers are actually a little bit warmer than they should be. They're about 30 degrees Celsius warmer at 100,000 feet, which means it's quite odd because Antarctica is actually warming up at a faster rate. But that's the only mention of any phenomena that could be actually driving this. So, and I think it's partly strategic because no one actually really knows what's driving every part of it. The meteorologists can kind of see the patterns. They can make the forecast and be reasonably close to the temperatures and when rain is and when it's not. But the long-term forecast is just almost impossible to do right now.
2 weeks ago, when we last spoke, there was a breakup of Antarctic ice and a sudden warming that had hit the continent. Is that still being talked about, or is that old news now?
That, believe it or not, has become old news very quickly. Definitely the warming of the upper layer is discussed in passing from time to time in the weather reports, but the breaking up of the ice, I think because we've had a lot of warning over the last couple of years that it was coming and that there was some evidence that it had already begun. When it really hit in earnest just a few weeks ago and it became quite evident, it was just par for the course. So I have no doubt we'll probably be talking about it again very, very soon. It's just that the discussion right now is this immediate weather being a little bit odd, but that is definitely something that we're watching because as the ice breaks up and melts and kind of changes the temperatures of the oceans, because for us, the Antarctica melting actually changes the temperature of the Southern Pacific and the Southern Indian Ocean, which for us in Australia creates a lot more cold bands that come up into the Australian continent and collides with those warmer temperatures coming in from the north, making a lot more ferocious weather than we've ever seen before. All of this is actually really important for us to understand. But at the moment, that's been put by the wayside just for now, but I dare say we'll be talking about it sometime fairly soon.
Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales, springtime arrives with caveats. It's Indian summer day here in New England. We're going to turn to creatures, what happens in the springtime creatures. But a surprise creature, actually, we've introduced this creature as benign, not all the time, when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.